You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
When you watch him, you never think they're out of the game. Most QBs, their rookie year, you want to get them to the end of the fourth quarter, right? Like, put all the pressure on them, make them see your coverage, make them see the disguise, make them figure this thing out. The dude does it. Every freaking week, it feels like he walks off the field with the lead somehow.
It's time for our weekly visit with the Hall of Famer, John McClain. From Sports Radio 610, right now on Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q.
You heard ESPN's Jeff Saturday right there talking about Texans rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud and what he's learned from head coach DeMeco Ryans, also in his first year in Houston. But they don't act like they're rookies. They don't act like they're new at this thing. They've got it figured out, and that's a very competitive division, especially after what we saw Monday Night Football with the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920, and John McClain from Sports Radio 610 joins us now on the phone lines. And John, thanks so much. As always, we appreciate you. And let's go to Monday Night Football. We saw the Jaguars lose to Cincinnati. I was surprised by that, but the bigger story was Trevor Lawrence going down with what we know now is a high ankle sprain. Who knows how long he's going to miss, but has this been the year of the backup quarterback in the NFL?
Unfortunately, unless you got a Jake Browning who threw for more yards last night than he'd thrown in his career since he came in as an undrafted free agent, and the Bengals now are 6-6, that puts them back in the wild card race when everybody thought it was hopeless with Joe Burrow out. Browning looked great. C.J. Beathard replaced Lawrence. He did a good job, but that was a great game, an exciting game. I didn't start watching it until third quarter because I thought it was going to be boring as heck. And as far as Trevor Lawrence, you know, you're right. You don't ever know about a high ankle sprain. It could hinder him the rest of the season, especially when it comes to pushing off. A lot of times, a high ankle sprain, you can have surgery on it. You cannot have surgery. You can rest and rehab. You don't get that till the off season. So you play with pain. I'm guessing he's missing Sunday's game for sure. Maybe the next one against Baltimore. But I tell you what I couldn't understand, do they not have golf carts in the most popular state in the country for golf? Were there no golf carts in the area of Jacksonville? I know a lot of people ask that on social media because it's a long walk from the field to their locker room. And we saw him have to have the support of two people walk at a snail's pace. And I keep thinking, where's the cart? Where's the cart? Somebody said, well, sometimes it's best to walk it off. Give me a break. I wish somebody had asked Doug Peterson that question just because it's getting so much attention around the country. But Lawrence has been incredibly durable in his career. And, of course, they need him. You know, the Texans and Colts are 7-5. Texans split with the Jaguars. The Jaguars, if the Texans tie the Jags are going to beat them because they got better conference record, division record, even in common opponents so far. So they would need to finish above them. And the Colts, you know, the Colts are coming on, too. They're 7-5. They've been beating a bunch of bad teams, but they've still been winning. So AFC South, which everybody thought would be one of the two worst divisions, has turned out to be better than the NFC South, the NFC North. You know, there's some bad divisions, and AFC South is one of the more interesting.
Yeah, the only team in the AFC South that's not doing too much is the Tennessee Titans, as they're sitting there at 4-8. But the rest of the teams, as you mentioned, very competitive. And let's talk about the Houston Texans. They snapped the Broncos' winning streak. They go into – or Denver comes to Houston and gets that victory. And C.J. Stroud missed a couple throws. I thought he could have extended the lead, but he missed a couple. But he shook it off, John, and that's what I was impressed by, is he didn't let that bother him. He came back and still found a way to win that game. Every week I'm more and more impressed by C.J. What did you see this past week from him?
Especially since his leading receiver, not his leading receiver, but his second favorite receiver, Tank Dell, the rookie, had been fabulous. Tank suffered a fractured fibula, had surgery yesterday. He's out for the season. And so Tank Dell didn't catch a pass. Dalton Schultz, their best tight end, was inactive. He didn't catch a pass. Robert Woods and Noah Brown didn't catch a pass. And he still threw for 274 yards, primarily with Nico Collins, who had 9 catches, 191 yards, and a touchdown. Q, I got to tell you something here. This is amazing to me. The last time the Texans had a game that was settled by more than 7 points was in the fourth game of the season when they beat Pittsburgh 30-6. after they beat Jacksonville 37-17, every game of the last eight has been decided in the last 30 seconds. And here's how much time has been left on the clock when the game was secured. Seconds, 0, 16, 0, 6, 0, 30, 20, and 9.
Wow.
And those games have been determined by 2, 7, 2, 2, 3, 5, 3, and 5 points. And we're talking about a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, rookie offensive coordinator, play caller, rookie quarterback coach. But they're 5-3 in those games. They lost by Jacksonville here by 3. And, man, they would love to have that Carolina game back. They lost on a field goal with no time left when Stroud threw for 140 yards. And afterward, he said, I want more explosive plays. He got them, and he's led the league since then.
And that's the only win that the Carolina Panthers have this season is that win, again, that field goal right at the end of the game. And I'll tell you, I'm so impressed by the Texans. We talk about Stroud. We talk about DeMeco Ryans. But how about Will Anderson? He looked like he was a dominant force on Sunday against Denver.
Will Anderson Jr. had 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, knocked down Russell Wilson 4 times. He tipped a pass that was intercepted by Derek Stingley Jr. He tipped a punt that was 22 yards. And right now, and he had 8 pressures. The only players in the NFL this season who had a stat line like him, Micah Parsons and Khalil Mack, the only rookies going back to 1933 who had that stat line, Jalen Phillips of the Dolphins and J.J. Watt. Mm. And it's amazing. He's playing great. Derek Stingley Jr., last year taking 1 spot ahead of Sauce Gardner, spent 9 games on IR, started this season playing well, back on IR with a hamstring injury. So everybody said, Nick Caserio screwed up. He needs to be fired, the GM. So since Stingley's come back in 3 games, he has 4 interceptions. And Q, those are either diving interceptions, leaping interception. He has been fantastic. So the 3rd overall pick the last 2 years, Derek Stingley Jr. and Will Anderson Jr., those juniors are playing great.
Yeah, that interception by Stingley was very impressive. It was behind him. It was not an easy grab, but he made that catch, and that was a big one for Houston on Sunday versus Denver. Also on Sunday, we saw Philadelphia just get mollywopped by the San Francisco 49ers in their house. Was that a big alarm and a big red flag on Philadelphia, or was that just a bad day at the office?
Now, where in the hell did you come up with mollywop?
I'm a Bay Area guy. That's a Bay Area term, mollywop.
Never. What is it?
Mollywopped.
Well, you ain't in the Bay Area anymore. I've never heard that term. You're long gone from the Bay Area. What they got was obliterated, pulverized, humiliated, clobbered. The 49ers now have gone to Jacksonville and mollywopped or hollywopped, whatever, the Jaguars. They did it to the Cowboys, and now they've done it to the Eagles. And somehow they lost 3 in a row. But I think, Q, they're clearly the best team. They're better than the best team in the AFC right now is Baltimore. But if they play the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, especially if it's in Philadelphia, they're going to have a hard time beating Philadelphia twice. Just, I think, if the University of Texas beats Washington in a semifinal and Michigan loses to Alabama, Alabama and Texas come to Houston to play, mm-hmm. and it's going to be hard to beat Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide 2 times in 1 season. So even though the 49ers look like the best bet to win the Super Bowl right now, we got a lot of football left to play. Cowboys have a tough schedule for the first time, starting with the Eagles, and I think it's going to come down to Philadelphia and, of course, San Francisco. And in the AFC, it's going to be Baltimore, and the Ravens are not great. And I'm not sure. Kansas City looks pretty normal to me right now. They're just not very impressive. They're 8-4. And so somebody else, I'm guessing, that they will step up with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and they'll be a force in the playoffs. So I'm guessing Baltimore, Kansas City, San Francisco, and Philadelphia, and then maybe the Cowboys and the Lions on the outside looking in at those other teams with really good records.
John McClain, Sports Radio 610, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. The nominees for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award were rolled out today. Max Crosby represents for the Raiders, John Weeks for the Texans. How big of an honor is that in the NFL, you know, all the awards that they give out to be nominated as the Walter Payton Man of the Year?
Well, there's one a year. And when you're nominated, it means you have done more in the community, or you've done, can't say better, because anytime players do something in the community, it's a big deal. But you, in that year, you've been chosen as the best. And I was, every Super Bowl, they always announce Walter Payton Man of the Year, and it means a lot to the players because they've got that distinction for the rest of their life, not just their career. You know, Max Crosby could lead the NFL in sacks for 5 years in a row, but after 20 years after his career's over, they might not be remembering the sacks, but they're going to remember he won the Walter Payton Award. So it is very prestigious for players who win it because it's a lifetime achievement and a lifetime honor.
Yeah, no, it really is, and I see a lot of pride, and I see Max Crosby tweeting about it and other players around the league tweeting about their nominees as well. And I remember J.J. Watt received that. What year was that? Was that the flood year in Houston? What year was
that? Yeah, the flood year was 2017, so I'm guessing it was 18. Mm-hmm. I was there. I ought to know. I just remember it was Minnesota, and it was cold as hell.
Yeah.
But and he still cherishes that award. You know, he's three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And he rates that right up there with that hat trick of Defensive Player of the Year awards.
One more question for you about some action that we saw on Sunday, and that's Green Bay beating Kansas City. You said that they looked kind of normal. What did you see from Jordan Love and the Packers on Sunday night?
Excellence. My goodness, I think it's three in a row. We saw it at Detroit on Thanksgiving. And if you are the other teams in the NFC North, you've got to be thinking, God, what have we done to deserve this? Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love looks like he could be them. Because remember, Aaron Rodgers didn't play for 3 years. Brett Favre was so bad at Atlanta, he got traded to Green Bay, and he was a wild man for a couple of years with Mike Holmgren, drove him crazy. But that is quite a hat trick, and everybody says he's such a class act. He handled his situation with Rodgers well. He got ripped early in the year, but man, oh man, has he looked good. And you know what, Q? The NFC is not as strong as the AFC at the bottom.
Right.
But I tell you what, there's some good runs to the wild card. Rams, all of a sudden, you know, they pounded the Browns. They're in the playoff race at 6-6. Packers are 6-6. It's going to be so much fun. Crunch time, Q, is always one of the best times of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? I mean, it's about September and October is fun, but November, December, and the first week of January now is when really it all comes together as far as the NFL and the playoffs and who's going where and how far can they make that run. John, fantastic
and
stuff.
And who's going to get mollywopped and who is?
Right, exactly. See, I learned you. You teach me every week. Now I taught you this week. That's great.
Yes, you did. I won't remember it after we get off the phone, but maybe you could text me the correct spelling and pronunciation, and I'll unveil it down here.
There you go. I got you. Yeah, next time you're on with Smokey and them, talk about being mollywopped, and they'll get a good laugh out of that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, well, then I'd be talking about Baylor football, and I don't want to do that.
I heard that. I know that's right. What are you working on, John, that we should be on the lookout for?
I've got a column on sportsradio610.com with no paywall about D'Amico Ryans wouldn't be the head coach for the Texans if it wasn't for Robert Saleh, going back to when Saleh was quality control with the Texans and D'Amico was a linebacker and they became friends.
All right, there it is. Great stuff as always, John. We appreciate you, my man.
Q, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much as always.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The general right there, John McClain, Sports Radio 610. Look at that. See how it is? See, we learn each other, right? He always teaches me something, which is fantastic. And today, Aria, I returned the favor.
That was amazing.
That's promo material, by the way.
Oh, it's in there. Yeah, it's written down several times. I even texted him on because I thought it was so awesome because we both love John McClain.
Oh, yeah. How could you not?
I texted him my little note. John McClain said mollywopped.
That's so funny.
That is amazing.
Mike, hit us up on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. Q, I was thinking the same thing. Molly Whopped, very impressed by the way it seems as if you can't even pick your nose. That's funny. I can't pick teams, but I can pick a good word here and there. So there it is. Molly Whopped, I thought everybody knew that word.
I guess it is more of a West Coast thing. But he's all over the place. I feel like he's...
Yeah, but he's definitely Texas.
He's a little older, too, so I get it. But you know what the key is here? His response was like, teach me. I want to learn.
Right. No, the funny thing is, when I was at ESPN Central Texas, I can't remember what it was. I think it was maybe the Rangers, or I don't know what it was, but I was doing a Sports Center update, and I said that in the Sports Center update. I said, so-and-so got mollywopped, and I left a score out there. And John Morris, who's the voice of the Baylor Bears... He came into the studio because his show was after ours, and he walked in and he goes, Molly Whopped! I love it. I don't know what it means, but I love it. And I was like, really? How do you not know what it means? My bad. Man. There you go.
That's a classic term right there.
I
got to know that if you're going to be out here.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's something that we've been saying in the Bay forever. So I thought, I know. I ain't been in the Bay in a while, but, you know, you can take the kid out the Bay, but you can't take the Bay out the kid, right?
Next week we could teach him dominoes. Or you could teach him, I should
say. That's right. I have, and I know this is not going to go over well, but tomorrow I have to ask Coach Pierce about 10 to get on.
Yeah.
I have to.
You really do.
I have to. Like, I know that it's not the priority, and someone's going to be like, oh, Q's goofing, this and that. And I'm really not, but I'm really curious. Even my mom texted me this morning and was like, okay, now you have to ask Coach AP since you've been asking everybody else. I'm like, all right, cool. Because it's the rules. You play 10 to get in. That's just how you do it.
And let me just say, as a producer and a guy that cuts up sound a lot, there is nothing greater to me. I know you guys want to hear the football answers and you want to know what's really going on, but I love it. And shout out to Adam Hill and yourself as well. You guys ask some questions sometimes. You get a hell of a response. It's hilarious and, you know, borderline could go viral, you know, that kind of thing.
Not going viral. They're gonna be like, oh,
I'm just
damn
saying.
I get honestly, it's funny just to peel back the curtain. There's more times than not that if the question's not asked or posed the exact way that someone else is thinking it should be posed, they don't think that the question's actually asked. If you know what I mean. And I understand because in your mind, right, it's like, I want to know the answer to this, but the way that they have it worded in their head is not the way that you would ask in a press conference, right? It's just, it isn't. Because it's going to come off like weird. It's going to come off either disrespectful. It's going to come off sarcastic. Something like that. You know, it's just like, hey, coach, why'd you guys get your ass whooped on Sunday? Like, you can't ask that question. Yeah, exactly. Why'd you get mollywopped on Sunday? You can't ask that. I mean, you can, but you're not going to get a real answer, you know? And so you have to think, you know, hey, coach, what was the reason why the offense was struggling so much? Why did you guys do well between the 20s, but when you got to the red zone, you bogged down? That's a question that'll get you an answer. But if it's not worded with the, like, anger, and I don't think with Coach Pierce it's like that. I don't think too many people have, like, angry questions that they want asked towards them. But I'll tell you, man, before Halloween, let me tell you, literally you could ask me to ask a question, and I could word it so it'll get an answer, but because it didn't have the anger – and the teeth biting into your neck type approach to it. It was like, oh, he's not asking a real question.
Yeah.
He's not asking the question we want to know. No, I actually am. It's just not. It doesn't sound like it. And I get it because it's hard to kind of differentiate at points. But it is what it is. It's an opportunity to be where we're at. So I love it.
I enjoy it. I enjoy listening. I should say, cutting up the stuff and. We like to play a little game. Guess who asked that question? You know, us producer nerds, we do it a little differently, but
right,
it's good stuff.
No doubt. Mitch hit us up. This is Raider MG. He said, Aiden O'Connell's not the problem. Therefore, I see no reason why we should remove him from the game at any point barring any injury. If you're worried about the Vikings pass rush, putting Jimmy in isn't a good idea either. The problem is the offensive line. Until that improves, the offense will continue performing the way it is. Well, I don't think that was ever a discussion. Is that something else? I don't think that anyone discussed removing him. Did I miss something on that one?
I'm not.
I'm confused on that one. Yeah, I don't know, Raider MG. Maybe you have to hit us back. 702-365-9200. Let us clarify what you're talking about. I don't think anyone's talking about removing Aiden O'Connell. The question that I threw out there is, would you be okay with the Raiders building the team up, offensive line, defensive playmakers, basically all around build the team up and run it back next season with Aiden O'Connell and really get a true idea of who he can be with a full offseason to himself to be QB1, have the play callers true 100% attention, the head coaches true 100% attention. That's what we're talking about. So I'm not too sure. Maybe that was a text from earlier that just came through. I'm not too sure, but that one threw me off a little bit. I'm
not 100% sure either, but is he referring specifically to the Vikings game, like pulling him from that specific game?
I
think that's – but, yeah, let us know, Mitch.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says if you're worried about the Vikings pass rush, putting Jimmy in isn't a good idea either. The problem is the offensive line, and until that proves, the offense will continue to perform the way it has. Yeah, that's not that. Yeah, that's not a question. I don't. Just to answer it, maybe Raider MG. I don't look at anyone being the quarterback except for Aiden O'Connell the rest of the way. I really don't. I don't see any other option outside of, as you mentioned, injury, and I don't put that on anybody. So thanks so much for that text. Maybe we got lost in the shuffle a little bit. You can hit us back at 702-365-9200. Just clear things up if you want to. We got Lincoln Kennedy coming up at 3:30. Let's go out to the phone lines, talk to our guy Nash from H-Town, from Houston. Nash, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, I really appreciate the opportunity. C.J. Stroud is really doing terrific down here. But as far as it relates to Aiden, you know, to me, I think there's two big questions that come with that. One is I'd be okay to do that. But then the other thing, because I think he does has shown enough and certainly want to see what the next five games bring. But I think if you're going to do that, though, to get the pieces, I think you need to trade Devontae. I think you need to try to trade him, like, and maybe the Jets are interested. But that way you can get a couple really good pieces to go around him. And then with that cap savings for trading him, then you can probably get another piece around it. And then the question I'd have, if you're AP and you do get the job, are you willing to, you know, put all your chips on the table in Aiden? Because he's going to ultimately impact what you can do and how successful you are. And so that would make me, you know, a little bit more leery as a head coach to do that versus going out and getting your guy where you know you might have 2 or 3 years to build around him if you select the guy that you should. Because there are a lot of good quarterbacks this year. But, again, to me, you start to look at him and, okay, maybe he is like a – Jordan Love that, you know, is doing better as the season goes on. Or again, you kind of take a 49ers approach and you put him around some really good skill players. And the other thing with that too, is I'd want Josh back, whether it's on a franchise tag or not, because again, he's going to really help a young quarterback either way.
All right. Good points. Thanks for the call, man. Definitely appreciate you. And that's something that, you know, do you see AP kind of marrying himself to Aiden O'Connell and saying, hey, this is going to be my guy? And I think that's a conversation that obviously when the season's over and the interview process happens, that'll be something that's discussed. You know, how do you feel about the quarterback position? How do you feel about the defense? How do you feel about your coordinators? Like that's going to be all part of the interview process. But that's a really good point that you bring up. Right. And figure out exactly what you do. And of course, Devontae Adams, I mentioned it the other day. I want to see him around forever. You know, I mean, he's such a dynamic wide receiver. I'd love to see him in the silver and black until he doesn't want to be in a uniform period anymore, just because what he brings to the table. But I get what you're saying as far as, you know, getting some draft capital back while you still can for him. Obviously, he's got a high cap hit as well. Those are obviously all decisions that the front office would have to make. But I get where you're coming from. Don't want to see that happen. But I understand. You know, it's one of those things like, I get it. I understand. I don't like it, but I get it. Mitch hit us back. He did his back to clarify things, and now it makes a whole lot more sense. Everything is so clear now, Ari. Everything is so clear.
Yep.
He said, I activated my account late, so my text from the morning show when he was hitting the morning tailgate up, Vinny, Lindsay, and Clay are just now coming through. So that makes sense. So now at least I know what they were talking about this morning, right? I mean, I heard some of their good conversations. I know they had Jason Fitz on. They were talking with him for a while. I always check that out. It's always a good conversation. So now that makes a lot more sense. So, all right, there you go, Mitch. Now we're all on the same page. I knew there was something going on. I was like, man, what did I say? I don't know what I said. And sometimes I can convince myself that I said something that I didn't even really say. So there's that. It is all good. Let's see. Brad said, we got dollar store steaks. We got interesting. We got Molly Wop. No other show could say that.
Let's get some shirts made. We're rolling.
Man, don't say that about shirts made.
Oh, boy.
Don't say that about
shirts made.
Christmas
time, Q. You're not in the spirit of giving gifts?
No, brother. When I I went from ESPN Central Texas to Fox Sports Central Texas, very much against my will. I was very angry about this. It was one of my last days when I was there in Central Texas. Like, I knew that my days were numbered. But I'm also very professional. So you see, even today, I have my ESPN Las Vegas jacket on. Like, I always have a shirt or a jacket or whatever to represent the radio station, because that's just how you look professional out and about. So when they moved me to Fox, I was like, all right, well, I got to get some shirts. So my buddy Ward said, hey, I got the hookup at so-and-so. You can order some shirts, you know, and they'll print them up for you and everything. Just let them know that you work with me, and it'll be a good deal. I was like, all right, cool. So I went through and ordered about 6 or 7 shirts, right? Because I was like, well, I mean, we work 5 days a week, so let me get a couple extras. So I ordered about 7 shirts. Didn't think nothing of it. Didn't look at the price. Didn't worry about nothing. They're like, oh, okay, cool. We'll have them ready for you, whatever. Man, they sent me the bill, and it was like $600-something. Right. And I was like, holy hell, I thought I had the hookup. Like, that's, I thought my guy was hooking me up. So I went on the radio like I'm doing right now and went on this big old rant about how much the shirts cost. And I couldn't believe it. And I thought Ward was going to hook me up. And I thought this company was going to hook me up. So this guy that was a loyal listener of the show named Pepe, he this is real, true story. His name was Pepe. He went and had 30 T-shirts made, and it had my silhouette of it. And on the back, it said $626. Are you kidding me? So that ended up being like prizes that we gave out on the road. And it was just me being angry about the $626 that I eventually had to pay for all these collared shirts. But they were T-shirts. And it was really cool. But it was my silhouette. Like, you couldn't see my face, but you could see my body, and you could see like the whatever kind of, I don't know, whatever my expression was that I had in studio. And it was really well done. And I kept thinking, like, you actually spent money on that? So there's that.
Talk about, that's a great That's a great ending to me, though.
It was pretty cool.
I'm angry about these $100. There's basically about $90-$100 a shirt.
Yeah, well, they were all Nike. They were all Nike, because I don't believe in wearing anything but Nike.
Sorry, shout out to your favorite brand Nike, but that's a lot. And where's the discount? But forget, okay.
Exactly.
$90.
Exactly. That's discount? What I was saying. Where's the discount?
Should be.
Where's the hookup? Like, if I tell you, Ari, I got the hookup, let them know that Q sent you. Either I'm going to make the call myself, or you're trust and believe that you got the hookup. I didn't have no hookup. I had none.
And there's nothing worse than that. I've been there too, because then you can't really, you don't want to go to the person like, hey, I really appreciate that you offered that.
I dogged them out on the air.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, sometimes it is maybe the place, you know, oh, well, we didn't get that. And after the fact that, oh, sorry about that, we fixed it. You know,
no,
whatever,
they didn't fix nothing.
But yeah, that's.
No, they took my money. That was the last order I ever made with them.
Before we hit the break and get to Lincoln, do you have the shirts still?
No.
Oh, that's just
awful. I think the wife might have one. No, she might have one, because I just gave them all out.
Put that on eBay for $626.
I'll have to check with the wife to see if she still has one. If she does, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. If not, I know a guy that's got a picture of it, so I'll get a picture so you can see it. It's pretty damn funny, but that's that. Lincoln Kennedy, he's not pretty damn funny, but he's awesome, and he'll join the show next. It's Radio Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops. Order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
If I were a player for him, I would play for him. If I were a coach on his coaching staff, I would coach for him. And you can't ask for anything better than that type of guy that, like you said, is endearing to the community. He can relate to the community. You're liable to see him at a barbecue or cookout in and around Las Vegas. I mean, he's just that type of dude. You guys got a good one, man. I can't sing enough of his praises, because he's done it the right way.
Las Vegas Raiders color analyst Lincoln Kennedy joins Unnecessary Roughness right now on Raider Nation Radio.
That was longtime NFL linebacker LeVar Arrington. He joined the show yesterday to talk about his good friend and coach Antonio Pierce, what he brings to the table. And he mentioned being around the community, and AP was around the community all weekend long. He was not only at the Pac-12 championship game on Friday at Allegiant Stadium, he was also at the Mountain West championship game on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. And another man that was in attendance to the Pac-12 championship game joins us now on the phone lines, and that's Lincoln Kennedy. And Big Link, man, congratulations. Your Huskies got it done, man. How are you feeling Friday night?
I was feeling good, Q. I mean, they had me a little bit worried there for a while, but after jumping out of lead and been losing it, I was like, oh, my gosh, it reminded me of the Raiders a little bit. But they were able to pull it out. I'm happy.
Yeah, no, they did. And it's funny because everyone kept saying how Oregon was the more physical team. And I'm assuming if you're in that Washington locker room, you're like, wait, hold on. We beat these guys earlier. Why is everyone giving us, not giving us the benefit of the doubt, saying that we're 10-point underdogs and we're not physical? And they went out, and early on especially, they looked way more physical than Oregon.
Well, I told everybody that had talked to me about the spread. I was like, dude, bet the spread. I'm not even a gambler. I'm not a sports player. I was like, bet the spread. Take the 10 points because I thought it was disrespect. But you know what? To be honest with you, there's two ways that you can look at it. Obviously, if you're a player or a coach, you can use it as motivation to get you where you want to be and how you want to feel. But the big thing is that that's just what that creates an attraction, if you will. That's what draws the crowd because you have two teams. And you have just that scenario that you described. You know, one team beat the other one, but yet it's a 10-point underdog in the same season. It's hard to beat a team twice. I get it. And I understand why Oregon got that favor and that much attraction because they were looking good. Mm-hmm. And I had said all season long that I thought the most complete team, there were the two of the most complete teams in the pack were Oregon and Oregon State. And you saw what Oregon did to Oregon State.
Yep.
So that knocked them out. And Washington, you know, over the past month, hasn't been dominating as much as they did in the early part of the season, but their resiliency and their ability to find a way to win was good for them and really good for the program. That's one of the reasons why they're in the spot they're in now.
And their running back, Dylan Johnson, was special. Not only just running the ball, Lincoln, but he was blocking. And if that's not textbook right there, if that's not Sunday play by that running back, I don't know what is. He was special.
Well, you're no doubt about it. And I think, you know, Washington learned a little bit from the tail of the tape when they had the ASU game. And I still think it's going to be true when they play Texas again because I think Texas is a good football team, a lot better than Washington beat last year. But, you know, the formula for the success against the Dogs, it seems to be, is like generate pressure on Michael Penix, get him off his point, make him look down at the rush, no longer looking down the field. But what you do when you do that or try to do that by bringing blitzes, you isolate that hardcore receiving core that Washington has against your defensive backs. And a lot of times it's going to be advantage offense as it plays out. So yeah, that's exactly what you saw that this past championship game.
Final question about the Pac-12 championship game, then we'll switch our attention to the Raiders. Michael Penix, you mentioned him. Is he a Sunday quarterback? And what about Bo Nix? What do you think?
Both of them are Sunday quarterbacks.
Okay.
I do think so. So the thing is with Michael Penix, you're going to have him in the right system surrounded by the right guys. He could definitely sling it. I'm not knocking him. But he is not one of those guys that's really going to try to use his legs, move around. And I really think today's quarterback, you have to do that, have some semblance of that, because everything's not going to be cut and dry. And so I believe both of them are quality quarterbacks that I play on Sunday.
Again,
I expect Bo Nix to win the Heisman.
Yeah, no, I do as well. I think that Daniels is going to have something to say about that, but probably because Bo Nix played later, you know, I think that there's more there for Bo Nix and what he did at Oregon this past year. Again, Lincoln Kennedy is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. So the Raiders coming off their bye week, and Lincoln, when you were playing, what was it like? What was it like for you on the bike bye week? Like, what was your focus? What was your main thing that you did?
Get the hell away from football.
Okay.
I mean, if it can make sense, it's just really after the game, you know, before your bye, depending on how it goes, you know, if you won the game, then you would get a few more days off from it. But, you know, those first couple of days after your bye or during your bye, you want to try to get away from football. I wanted to get away from football. I wanted to try to decompress as best I could and could not do that if I was always thinking about the game.
How difficult is that the Raiders had to go 12 weeks and play 12 games before they got their bye?
No, you know what? It's one of those things where you kind of grade it on where your team is and as far as health-wise. Mm. There are times where you need to buy early in the season, say you've got an injured valuable player, you want to try to get him back. Most of the times I prefer to buy to be later in the season because it's after you built up enough callus to where you can really enjoy the break, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. So final question about the bye. When you came back, was it easy to just get back into football or did you kind of have to ease back?
No, you have to ease back. You really have to ease back because if you press too hard, you know, football is such a violent game on the body, you press too hard, you end up hurting stuff. So the thing is, Q, is you want to try to get later in the week, you want to try to get back in as much of your normal routine as possible. What's today, Tuesday?
Yep.
So Tuesday would be your typical day off. you stay away from the facility. Wednesday, you come back and you start your work week all over again. That's how you do.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing as well. They'll be back on the practice fields starting tomorrow. We'll actually get an opportunity to talk to Coach AP tomorrow morning as well. Lincoln Kennedy is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. So for these final 5 weeks, obviously it gets started this week with the Minnesota Vikings Week 14 action, and the players can only look at one game at a time. But what are you looking for these final five games from the Raiders?
I'm hoping that Antonio Pierce proves more of his worth, not only to the Raider Nation, but the upper administration that might be involved in hiring him permanently. I think they missed an opportunity with Coach Bisaccia. I really was impressed with the job that Bisaccia did in the short amount of time with the circumstances he had in front of him. And from a lot of players, I had heard that they appreciated the fact that he held guys accountable. And you're still seeing that today. And I got to be honest with you, just personal feelings is that you have to hold guys accountable because the money is no longer the draw.
Mm-hmm.
The money is, it's not about the money anymore because you're getting paid now in college. So it's not about the money. You can sit there and say what you want about free agency and stuff like that. Everything has changed from the standard all the way down to high school and lower levels. You got AAU guys being paid, high school players being paid, college players being paid. There's nothing, there's really no motivation other than inner motivation you can use to draw on these guys today, if that makes sense.
It does.
So the after effect is that you hold them accountable because you are based on a performance base. If you're not performing, you're not playing. And I don't care who you are. I don't care where you were picked. I don't care how long you've been playing. I don't care how much money you make. These are decisions that have to be made, and you have to stand by them. And I think that Antonio Pierce and his coaching staff are going to do that. To me, that proves their value as far as building a program, a lasting program here for the Raiders.
And talking about accountability, that's exactly what they did when it comes to Marcus Peters and Roderick Teamer, two guys who were let go as the bye week started.
Yeah, there has to be a no tolerance for anything outside of what your goals are, and that's to win football games and, more importantly, keep respectable. Look, there's so much attention being paid forward to the athletes these days and what they do, especially here in Las Vegas. You have to imagine that you want your guys, you're not saying that everybody's going to be, you know, a square and on the straight and narrow, but you want the guys to act like they're not only professional, responsible, but more importantly, they're mature out in the streets because they represent an organization. They represent something that's really bigger than them.
Lincoln, you obviously know what it means to be a Raider. You know what the Raider way is. You know, once a Raider, always a Raider. How much have you appreciated that Coach Antonio Pierce has also embraced what it is to be a Raider?
Well, I think that, you know, whenever you have a coach that takes over and the team is going to take on the personality, it's good to have that sort of definition or that meaning to resonate throughout not only you as an individual, your coaching staff, but you want to share it around. Look, we know how important this is, not only because we're fans of the game, we're fans of the nation, but more importantly, we want to see our team succeed.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired of seeing other teams around us succeed. We want to see our team succeed. And the only way that you're going to do that, well, not the only way, one of the ways that you're going to do that is to have a clear plan and players that can execute that plan, and more importantly, that can uphold it when they're not always on the football field.
Lincoln Kennedy is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. We've been talking about Aiden O'Connell and what the Raiders may potentially do, not only the rest of the season, but potentially even next season. And I thought and threw out there an idea that maybe they run it back with him next year, regardless who the coaches are, just because you've seen a little bit of what he could potentially do. Do you think that that's a possibility?
And that's kind of a loaded question, Q, because think about it. If you bring in another coach or you hire someone else, they're probably going to want to have their guy, right?
Right.
They didn't pick Aiden O'Connell. See, that ultimately is the issue when you change head coaches, whether before the season, mid-season, after season, whatever, because those coaches that come in, now they sign the dotted line. Their job is on the line. They want to pick guys that they either evaluated, trust, or feel confident that they can get things done with. You know, not every coach, but just about the last couple of coaches that we had have made major changes.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't until the last one where you got rid of Derek Carr. You decide to move on for Derek Carr. Look how long it took them to do that. Look how many coaches came through the door before they were able to do that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like you in many ways. I think that Aiden O'Connell deserves a chance. I think that he is capable. From what I've seen so far, and it's a real small sampling, so it needs to be more. But also know that when it comes to the draft, and everybody expects their team to be Super Bowl bound after they draft.
Right.
Doesn't matter where they were.
Right.
Everyone, we're drafted such and such, we're going to Super Bowl. So when it comes to the draft, you're in a lot of teams, especially like that are in the Raiders situation, they have to make a splash because they need a lot of help elsewhere. It's really easy to look at that the incoming quarterback class from college mm-hmm. and say, oh, we need to get a quarterback.
Right.
That's a juicy pick. And that's the sexy pick. I get it, but I don't necessarily agree with it, especially right now because the Raiders have far too many holes that they need to plug.
No, it makes a lot of sense, and it's so funny, Lincoln, you talk about everyone thinks they're going to the Super Bowl. I make a case for so many players once they're drafted. Like, man, that guy's going to be a difference maker because this, that, and the other.
Absolutely.
And it sounds good, Lincoln, but it just doesn't play that way out on the field.
Well, you're not – it's human nature because I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they got Alex Leatherhead, I was like, you know what? I think he's perfect. He's a snot blower. He's a guy that likes to get downfield and block loops. I had no idea it was going to be a head case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to predict. You can't really predict that. You can't really project that. That's why I've always said the draft itself is a crapshoot.
Right.
And I've never really given too much credence to rookies because, like, you haven't done anything. I don't care what you did in college. You haven't done anything on this level. So, you know, missing me with all that, oh, I could do this, and I've done this, and whatever. So, you know, it's turn the page. But in that evaluation process, you think about it, Q, how many times have we had to go through and we've seen clips of guys and what they did in college? Basically, their highlight reel.
Right.
Of course you're going to think about your team is going to Super Bowl. You're going to think that guy's the next All-Pro, the next you know, greatest thing since sliced bread. You're going to think that. And then when they get out there, it's different because there are a lot of going through it. I went through it. There's a lot of different circumstances. There's style of play, whether, you know, offense, defense, their style of play, the how you're being coached, how you're being evaluated, what positions, the situations you're in. I mean, all these things come into view once you turn the page on the next level. It's not as easy as going out for a high school team and
right.
trying out. And, oh, I made the team. And now we got to find a position for you. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Those things are all set. All of that is decided. People expect you to play. That's why every draft, every fan base thinks that our draft class is going to put us over the top. We're going to Super Bowl.
There's no doubt. And earlier today, I was at the 2023 College Football Hall of Fame class, the press conference, and saw so many
yep.
great players, including Robert Gallery, who we know that didn't work
yep.
out in the NFL. But I just wanted to ask you, because you obviously were fantastic in college. We know what you did at Washington. What did the college football game mean to you?
Well, I tell you what, I didn't make the press conference this morning. I'm going to the dinner. I'm getting dressed in a little bit.
Nice.
College football was one of those opportunities. And, of course, my situation is different than a lot of people, having a full-ride scholarship and everything else. But I honestly thought where you were treated and looked at as an adult, even though you didn't have the adult responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so with taxes and having to go to work. And, like, again, my situation is different. I'm not saying my situation is everybody. But college was a lot of fun. And all I can think is that if I was around in NIL money, I wouldn't want to leave college either.
Right.
Why would I?
Right.
Why would I? Why? You're the king of campus. You're the king of that particular city if you're doing well and you're getting paid. Please. Yeah, that's one of the things that missed me. But college was a great time. It was a great experience and a great opportunity. And you know, I wouldn't be the man I am today if I did not have that experience.
I have no doubt about it, man. I heard a lot of great, not speeches, but just kind of comments from all of the players, from the Michael James, to Reggie Bush, to Robert Callery,
yeah.
Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on. Just all-time greats there in college football. Man, oh, man. Derek Johnson. I mean, just fantastic players. So I know you're going to enjoy yeah. that dinner tonight. I wish I could be there in attendance, but I did get to check out the early event. So enjoy that, man. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you. We'll catch up with you on Thursday.
And I just want to say one last thing about the college class, because I did have some input on who was inducted.
Nice.
There were a lot of conversations that about people about Reggie Bush off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thought he was a great player, but his thing off the field really kind of did him in. Of course, that's what got his Heisman takeaway initially. But now, you know, I thought that he was a person that deserved because his on-the-field play was exemplary. And the more importantly is that he was, you know, what he did, now you look at it by NIL standards, what he did was nothing. That's child's play these days when
right.
these guys are getting paid. So I'm glad that he's been awarded for it. Definitely well-deserved and well-earned.
He was. He really was. He was the guy, Lincoln, I would not leave the front of the TV because he was playing. I wanted to watch. Right?
True story.
He
True
was
story.
That fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Lincoln. We appreciate you, brother.
You got it, Q. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great stuff right there. Lincoln Kennedy, former Raider offensive lineman, of course, part of the Raiders broadcast with Jason Horowitz. They do a fantastic job each and every game day. We appreciate him, and that's awesome, right? Great nugget right there. I wasn't aware that Lincoln was part of the process, but just to hear that and talk about Reggie Bush, and again, I walked in. I really kind of want to kick myself. I was outside talking to Derek Johnson. We were all kind of spread out quite a bit, and I had just talked to Robert Gallery, and you'll hear that conversation coming up in about 12 minutes or so. I had just talked to Derek Johnson. I wanted to make sure I caught up with him because he's a hell of a dude. I've known him since Central Texas. He does a lot of great things in the community there in Waco, and so I wanted to make sure to show him some love. When I walk in, Reggie Bush is surrounded by about 10 different cameras and people getting audio, and that's what I would have been doing. And he's talking about the lawsuit against the NCAA, the fact that he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's like, I'm right here. I'm right here. And he's talking about there's nobody, there's no case against me if the running backs coach here isn't put in. I mean, he's going into detail, but I caught the end of it. So I started to record it, but it wasn't enough to be worth assault. So I'm kind of mad that I was the only one that was there representing the radio station. And two, I'm kind of mad that I wasn't in two places at one time. And I know that's impossible. But I don't have that mindset. My mindset is I could be everywhere at the same time, but I wasn't. So hopefully that audio will get out at some point and we'll be able to bring it to the table. But I'm sure that that's some fascinating stuff because, like Lincoln just said, what Reggie Bush ultimately got his Heisman Trophy taken away from is nothing now. Now it's like going and getting some chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A. Like, that's basically all he did was get some Chick-fil-A nuggets. And he has no Heisman Trophy. And as I was putting videos out of Reggie Bush being there, so many people, their comments were, now can Reggie get his Heisman Trophy back? He's going into the Hall of Fame. Can he get his trophy back? As far as I'm concerned, he always has his trophy because Reggie Bush was the Heisman Trophy winner. 3:49 is the time. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Close out hour number two. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
A party is not a party until Lincoln Kennedy arrives. Really good stuff in the last segment with Lincoln Kennedy. Always enjoy his insight. Every Tuesday and Thursday at 3:30, he joins the show. Just always love to have the opportunity to be with you for 3 hours here on the airwaves, talking some Raider football, dipping into some college football. And every once in a while, we make a hard left turn and we'll talk some nonsense like $626 worth of T-shirts or polo shirts that your boy had to pay for because I got a hookup. If that's the kind of hookup he was giving me, I don't never want that hookup again. That was terrible. Got a text, though, at 702-365-9200. We'd love for you to chime in on the show at any point. Would you be okay with the Raiders building the team up? Offensive line, defensive playmakers, all-around team build, and then run it back with Aiden O'Connell next season, kind of getting a bigger sample size of what he could bring to the table, not to mention having, as Lincoln Kennedy said, the Raiders have so many holes, maybe they could fill that. And then, boom, when they're ready to have their stud quarterback, if he happens to not be the guy, not saying he's not, but if he isn't the guy, then maybe they can go make that move. And that's really the sole focus that they have. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be okay with that? Let us know why. Yes or no, it's all good. 702-365-9200. You could also give us a call. It's all the same number. Don'tbebroke.com text line and the phone line. Sir Whiskey Ray said, Q, listening to Lincoln Kennedy is like hearing Jesus talk. Absolutely love his insight. Ask Lincoln if he's already made his reservations for the national championship game. That's from Sir Whiskey Ray. Also, we got a text that says, I think the Raiders need to spend money on a dual running back system. I don't believe Josh Jacobs can carry the load by himself for a 17-game season and make us a winning team. Gotta have two backs. So let us know. 702-365-9200. We'll kick off hour number three of the show next. Robert Gallery, talked to him earlier. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.